In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Tuesday, the 7th of August. Good as always to have you along, everybody. Elon Musk, never shy. We've had him on the program a couple of times, always says what he thinks. And at 9:48 this morning, West Coast time, because that's where Tesla is. Enough of this anti-West Coast bias, thank you. Musk said this in a tweet to his 22 million-something followers. Am considering taking Tesla private at $420, funding secured. Now, couple of things. First of all, that's $420 a share. Second of all, whoa. And third of all, that am considering line in a tweet to, as I said, 22 million people. 3 hours, one halt in trading of Tesla shares, and a statement from Musk on the Tesla website later. We know what's going on. As far as Musk is concerned, pending a shareholder vote, this thing is a done deal. He's kind of had it, as we've reported a couple of times the past month or two, with the scrutiny that comes with being a publicly traded company, especially one that's had some very publicized problems hitting production targets for its make or break Model 3. Left unclear is the big question. You're going to take a company private. You're going to have to raise a whole boatload of money, certainly for Tesla, in the tens of billions of dollars. No clue from Musk today, in tweets or otherwise, of where he is going to get that cash that he said was confirmed. Now, if all this works out the way Musk hopes, he's going to be able to get more of those all-important Model 3s on the road faster, which means more consumers are going to have to get used to how to use them. Jeff Fowler wrote about the car and some of the issues it presents for the Washington Post. Jeff, good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, you sit down in the Model 3 for the first time. What's it like? Give us the vibe.
You look around and all you really see is one giant iPad looking thing right there in the middle. In fact, the first time I got into the Model 3, the radio was already on and it was blaring. And my buddy and I, who had just ordered it and had just arrived, we wanted to talk, but we couldn't hear each other. And so we were looking around trying to figure out, how do we turn off the radio? And believe it or not, and I am a professional gadget guy, I could not figure out how to turn down the radio. After about a minute of scrambling, I finally figured out if you repeatedly press in one corner, the volume would go down. But it was a sign of things to come.
Well, so let's go to that place where things are coming from. Part of the scrolling you did to find the volume knob, the virtual volume knob, I guess, was that you found this thing's privacy settings. And that's why I wanted to get you on the phone, because as you say in this piece, this is basically an iPhone in terms of its connectivity.
Indeed. There's a lot of really big questions, but of course, the stakes are higher here because this is a moving vehicle. And in that, you mentioned the privacy policy. That was one of the first signals to me as well. So you tap around on the screen for a while, and you eventually get to this screen, and it looks a little bit like the privacy settings on Facebook. And it says, oh, by the way, by default, Tesla is going to take video recordings of everywhere you drive, and also information about where you go. Now, you can turn that off. They give you the option, thankfully, but there's also a microphone in the car, for example. That can be amazing. It can be used to talk with your car like you might do Siri or Alexa. Mm. It could even be used to diagnose problems in the car just by letting the Tesla folks remotely listen in to hear if there are problems there. But it could also be turned on, you know, to hear your private conversations.
Okay, but look, just to continue with the iPhone comparison here for a minute, when iPhones came out, we were all, oh man, this is whiz-bang and amazing, and look at all this stuff I can do. And of course, there's an app for that. And now people are backing off a little bit saying, wait, maybe it's not so great that we're staring at our screens all the time. Maybe it's not so great that we're connected all the time. In 10 years, when the Model 3 is in theory everywhere, or whoever has ripped off its version of it, are we going to be doing the same thing?
I think so. And that's exactly the point of my piece, that maybe we need to start having that conversation now instead of waiting in 10 years. And to me, the biggest challenge, the one that I think is most pressing that we really need to figure out now, is the distraction question.
Yeah.
So now we're having a lot of questions about, you know, oh, is my iPhone, you know, making me lose sleep, or is it turning my children into zombies? Well, the research that's happened so far have shown that these touchscreen interfaces in cars are very distracting and put a pretty high cognitive load on drivers. The problem is with Tesla, you have to interact with this thing while you're on the road. It hides some pretty critical parts of the car, of the function of the car. If you want to move the mirrors, you gotta click in there. If you want to change the air conditioning, you got to tap in there. If you even want to open the glove box, you've got to tap in there. There's no handle for the glove box on its own.
That's nutty, man, that you have to do that because, I mean, right? Keep your eyes on the road.
So, you know, I would think that Tesla really ought to be foregrounding how they're designing this interface to be safer, but they're not really. And in fact, last week, Elon Musk tweeted that he wanted to hire video game developers to develop games for that center panel. And I was like, ah, this is not inspiring trust in this car and in the direction that this company is going to take us all.
Jeff Fowler, he's a tech reporter for The Washington Post, writing about the car that is an iPhone in many, many ways, the Tesla Model 3. Jeff, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time.
You bet.